the Maryland News Network. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. Over the next hour, we'll bring you the latest high school sports news and discussions from around the state. Now, here's Glenn Clark.
Welcome to High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network. I'm Glenn Clark, alongside Wick Eisenberg, who you read at Wikipedia every week at County Sports Zone. Wick, it's good to have you in this week. There's so much that we need to get into in this week's show, but it's good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me on. I'm excited about this, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
No doubt about that. Wick, a big week for high school sports in the state of Maryland, as always. Let's get into a couple of the big ones that have from the week that has gone by. Mm-hmm. I don't want to start on the football field. A huge showdown between Calvert Hall and Wise. Tell me all about what went down.
The reason I think that this was one of the bigger results that happened is that Wise is sort of your perennial powerhouse right now in Maryland. They won 29 straight games going into this game, and they were taking on a private school, Calvert Hall, that obviously has a lot of history and tradition there. And it was billed as sort of the big game of the week to watch, and it definitely delivered, starting off with the very first play of the game. Calvert Hall kicked the ball off to Wise, and John Oliver, one of Wise's top playmakers, took the ball back 90 yards to start the game off on a touchdown. Real barn burner right away. And Wise continued to sort of take control, build a little bit of a lead. A.J. Litton's a great player who's fielding a lot of offers right now, a top prospect at the collegiate level, people are thinking. He scored a touchdown as well, and so it started to maybe look like maybe Wise was going to be able to, I don't know, run away with it, but actually Calvert Hall really started to clamp down and actually held Wise scoreless in the second half, but Wise was still able to hold on and win. It was a 15-13 final score, but it was just a really exciting game. Wise isn't tested too often. A lot of times they blow people out, and it's not particularly it's very one-sided. This time they were tested and they were able to answer the bell.
That's a remarkable victory for Calvert Hall, no question about that. Let me move to the soccer pitch. Mm-hmm. River Hill Urbana got together this week. Big one. Tell me about it.
Well, River Hill Urbana, once again, that's another returning state champ. Urbana was the 3A title holder. They graduated a lot from that team, and River Hill is sort of it's always contending. So two really distinct programs here, but River Hill was pretty young this year. They only have four seniors starting on their squad this year, and it just turned into this sort of wild game where everything you can really sort of think of happened. River Hill was able to score first, and it was a connection on a corner kick between two freshmen, Jed Dixon and Jonas Stoutenborough. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not.
We'll go with it.
And then, so you're sort of thinking, oh, River Hill's off to a great start now, but Urbana was able to counter just a couple minutes later on their own free play, if you will. Luke Robertson on a long throw in was able to, you know, hurl the ball into the box, and Corey Barnes was able to jump on it and finish. And then, even before, that's all in the first half, and then before it even ended, a red card gets shown to an Urbana player. So River Hill all of a sudden is up a man, and it's just wild and back and forth, and it eventually, because it was a tournament game, it went to penalty kicks. And penalty kicks for me are about as exciting as it can get in soccer. And a young goalkeeper, a junior from River Hill, really stepped up. Patrick Sherlock, he saved two goals in the shutout while River Hill converted all of them. So it was a really big result for the Hawks. They're now 3-0, and Urbana, coming off of, like I said, that great season they just had, they're now 0-3, so they're going to be looking to improve upon that start for
and
sure.
Real quickly, there was a high school football thriller in Harford County this past week as well.
Yeah, North Harford and Patterson Mill had one of the games that I'm sure people will be talking about throughout this year. It was just back and forth, wild contest, and it actually ended in the last minute where North Harford was able to get a touchdown and then a two-point conversion late to win it 35-34. Big result once again for the Hawks, and Patterson Mill is going to be frustrated with that one to have the lead that late and not be able to come home with it.
Well, speaking of scores, County Sports Zone provides schedules, scores, and standings for public high schools across Maryland. Get scores from every game, every night by 11 p.m. Varsity, junior varsity, freshmen, never miss the score with County Sports Zone. When we come back in, we're going to get a little bit more in-depth into what's going on in the world of Maryland high school sports. We're going to talk about a unique young man who plays football in Anne Arundel County. We'll do that next. He's Wick. I'm Glenn. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues next right here on the Maryland News Network.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back into High School Sportsline, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network. I'm Glenn Clark. He's Wick Eisenberg from County Sports Zone. Wick, I want to, in this segment, dive a little bit more into, and I want to do this throughout the course of the year, some of the young people that are playing high school sports in the state of Maryland and get to know them a little bit better. And so in this segment, I'd like to talk about the winner of the U.S. Army Impact Player Award. And before we do that, because I think a lot of people hear that and say, well, what is the U.S. Army Impact Player Award?
Sure.
So I want to allow you the opportunity to tell everybody about the U.S. Army Impact Player Award.
Sure. It's an award that County Sports Zone provides in conjunction with the U.S. Army. And essentially what we've been doing, and this is actually our third year of doing it, we look for student athletes who are sort of, I guess, the epitome of that statement, who do a great job on the field of play, but also do a great job off of it. We're talking about academics. Normally, they're very good in the classroom, community-wise, also involved with helping others. And then sometimes you get into, you know, great leaders, great team captains. A lot of them are team captains, and people who really don't just think about themselves, think about the team, and do their best to help others. It's been a great way to sort of promote these stories and these kids who might not always get all the press because maybe they don't have the most impressive stats in the box score per se. But it's a great award. It's honestly one of my favorite parts of this job.
And how often is it given out?
It's once a month. Once a month, and it is statewide. So we've had winners from all over the state win it. And for me, it's always competitive. We hear a lot about it from the U.S. Army because they have a big say in who gets picked, because obviously they are also providing the award. And it can get pretty competitive amongst the guys from different regions, the different recruiters, if you will, who say, oh, no, I know this team or I know this player. They are perfect for it. And that can even get a little competitive amongst them.
That's
so
cool.
It's a great award. We love our involvement with it. And it's actually even expanded. It's gone so well that it's even gone to Washington, D.C. now. Now they have their own separate version of it, the DCSAA Impact Player of the Month. So it's growing, and it's something that County Sports Zone loves being involved in, and it's something that we're hoping to continue for a long time.
Well, obviously for us, let's stay right here in Maryland, mm-hmm. and this month's winner is a special young man from Anne Arundel County.
Yes, Annapolis High School football player Charles Taylor, and he is an offensive lineman, a left guard, does a little defensive end as well, so he plays both sides of the ball. But for me, I met him last week when we did the segment, and it's going to be going up sometime this week, but it's really just a remarkable young man who really lives and breathes football. He got promoted up to the varsity from his freshman year when he was working on the JV, ended up standing out. They pushed him up there, and he's been a linchpin on that team ever since. But the reason he got nominated by his coach, Nick Good-Malloy, is the coach really realized how great of a leader he is. They do an activity in the spring to sort of promote, I guess, competitiveness, camaraderie, where they have different players, older players on the team, draft younger players into their own little groups, and then they compete with how well they're doing in school in terms of their grades and weightlifting and off-season stuff as well. So it's a way for the team to try to promote themselves and get better, but also it's a good way to see who really wants to be a leader. And for Coach Good-Malloy, Charles really stood out, was a great leader, good job of pushing his guys' buttons, getting the best out of them, and really taking a serious interest in them. And so that was really what made him stand out. And also, he does a lot of work. He also coaches. Not only does he play, he coaches. He's a volunteer coach with PAL. It's a 12U football team down in the Annapolis area. And the reason you sort of talk to him, and I asked him, I was like, so why do you do this? I mean, you're a high school kid. I'm sure you got plenty of stuff you want to do. Why?
I'd be busy getting in trouble myself.
Yeah, well, I'm probably not too far behind you on that as well. But he was sort of like, well, I remember the coaches that I had growing up. I played my whole life, and they had such an impact on me. And I sort of thought to myself, I have a lot more free time than a lot of coaches or adults even who have working jobs and obviously trying to make ends meet. He was like, I can volunteer. I can coach. I can try to help them. They can look at me as a high school football player and say, hey, that's pretty cool. Maybe I can help them out. And so that's how he sort of got involved with it. And for me, that was something that really made him stand out, because we always have a couple different applicants, and you get all these great, impressive stories but that really made me, Charles stand out to me.
You're listening to High School Sports Line. We're talking about the U.S. Army Impact Player Award winner, Charles Taylor from Annapolis. So what's been going on with Charles and the Annapolis football team?
Well, admittedly, this probably isn't the start that they had envisioned. They scheduled a really brutal start of their year. Now, they're 0-2 at the moment. They opened up with a MIAA powerhouse, Archbishop Spalding, who's expected to challenge St. Francis for the A-Conference Championship, and then Old Mill, who has made the playoffs every single year since 1998. So not the easiest way to go, but I mean, this is a team that is really on the rise despite this current record. Every year that Coach Good Malloy has been there, they've increased their win totals. They went when he took over, I believe it was 5 years ago, they were coming off a year or a couple years where they were on like a 15-game losing streak. Last year it was sort of the breakthrough for them. They won 11 games. They won the MPSSA 4A East region, which is very competitive. It's all the teams in Anne Arundel County, plus some from the Southern Maryland Athletic Conference. And they were able to break through and win a regional title that I think a lot of people didn't expect them to. They were able to beat North Point and Broadneck along the way. And if you talk to Coach Good Malloy about this, all this progress and really which unit, what units have really played big for them in this progress that they've made, he'll immediately point to that offensive line. He was a former offensive lineman himself, so I'm sure that had something to do with it.
Sure.
But, you talk to him and he starts talking about how smart they are, how coachable they are, and just obviously big and intimidating and athletic. And Charles fits that build completely. And you talk to him about it, and he talked to us a little bit about the camaraderie that individual group has. They call themselves the difference. They sort of view themselves as the difference in the game, even though they don't get any stats for playing offensive line. If a big run is broken off, it's because they were doing their job. If they don't get a first down, it's because they probably could have done their job a little better. So it's a group that really takes on this role that isn't the most glamorous, and Charles seems to embrace it along with all of his other teammates. And I'm looking for them to bounce back and have a good season, regardless of this 0-2 hole they've dug themselves.
And obviously he's thinking more than just what's right in front of him, as he's thinking about other things that are going on in his life and big picture and being a coach, and all those things are really, really remarkable. That's a really unique story about Charles Taylor. And if somebody wants to nominate someone for the U.S. Army Impact Player Award, how would they go about doing that?
So I'm going to give out my personal info here. You email me at Weisenberg, that's Weisenberg, at countysportszone.com. And it's an award, like I said, it's across every sport. It's across any school that sends us their scores throughout the year. So it's pretty much every public school in Maryland. They are eligible to have a winner. And we're always looking for applicants and to make it that much more of a competitive pool. So if you have someone that you think is doing a great job for their team or in the community, we would happily take them on and see if they get selected.
That's awesome. That is awesome stuff. The U.S. Army Impact Player Award. Hey, this football season, get the latest MPSSAA schedules, brackets, and more at countysportszone.com. When we come back in, we're going to take a look at a story of a team that is dedicating their season, a remarkable tribute to someone who is no longer with us. We'll talk about that next. He's Wick. I'm Glenn. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, and it continues next right here on the Maryland News Network.
With 20% back in rewards on color copies from Staples, you can run your business with confidence. The confidence to leave behind presentations that customers will read, not recycle. The confidence to produce color manuals that'll keep your business in the black. The confidence that your financial forecast will no longer be partly cloudy. Show off your business in full color for less at Staples. Now get 20% back in rewards on color presentations, manuals, and copies. Staples, it's pro time. Visit staples.com/20color. Expires 11/4/17. Exclusions apply.
With the connection of these wires, the entire country will be able to communicate without the assistance of an operator. Shortly, no other technology will ever be needed.
Change is the one constant in the IT field. Stevenson University's Computer Information Systems program prepares you to use the latest technology and manage that change.
I like Stevenson's program because it focuses a lot on your career after school.
Because the classes are smaller, you get more attention.
For more information, please visit stevenson.edu/CIS.
Suicide prevention starts with everyday heroes like you. Join us Saturday, September 16th at the Navy Marine Corps Stadium as we walk to fight suicide and raise awareness about mental health. You can be part of the movement and create a culture that's smart about mental health. Out of the Darkness Walks will raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If suicide has touched your life in any way, you are not alone. Get details on the Annapolis Walk or find one near you at outofthedarkness.org.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Covering high school news from across the state. This is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back into High School Sports Line. I'm Glenn Clark. He's Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com. Wick, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the other stories going on in the world of high school sports in this segment here in the state of Maryland. And if I could, I want to begin by asking you about a person and just what this name means.
Sure.
Who is Tom Berg, or who was Tom Berg?
Tom Berg was a remarkable individual who, in a way, I guess you could sort of say was somewhat of the godfather of girls soccer at North Hartford High School. He was a coach. He always was around the game growing up, and he ended up getting into coaching when he started becoming a teacher in high school at North Hartford. And back, I believe this was around the 70s, there it was mostly just boys soccer. There wasn't a lot of opportunity for girls soccer. So he coached the boys for a long time, but then he ended up having, you know, getting married and having kids, and they happened to be daughters, and they liked playing soccer, and he sort of sat there and said, well, you know, I want my girls to have an opportunity to play. He'd had one or two girls who had played boys, who played on the boys team with him, but he kind of wanted his girls to be able to play, you know, with other girls and to have that be a viable option. So he ended up, I guess, starting the team from scratch. And when you would talk to him, he would talk about, you know, we started this field. It was, there were potholes everywhere. Wow. He was filling them in and doing everything he could to promote the team and really get it going. And obviously, as time has wore on, thankfully, there's been more and more opportunity for girls, and it's really taken off. But one constant in the area for girls soccer has been, or at North Hartford, has been for a long time, was Tom Berg. He was the coach there forever. They never won a state title, but they were able to win one or two regional titles. Very successful guy on the field, and one of these ones where you talk to former players about their high school coach, they immediately start talking about, oh, wow, well, I learned so much from Coach Berg. And so he's this great coach, and he was the only coach they knew until the fall of 2016. And now they've got a new coach, Molly Van Dork. But with Tom, it's obviously very unfortunate. Ended up passing away from complications following a blood transfusion. He had a rare blood disorder, and it just didn't work out for him. So it happened this past spring. It was all very, I think, obviously, I don't know the family, but I think it was all very sort of sudden. And it really affected the players. A lot of them knew him, and you grow up in that area, you know who Tom Berg is. They even had a whole tournament. They've had a tournament in North Hartford for ages, even when he was there. You know, the Coach Berg opening season tournament. And so this year, this group of players, they're really playing with him on their minds. When you talk to their coach, as I did last week, with her name is Molly Van Dork, she says the players really came into this being like, our goals for this year, we want to have a winning season, but we also want to, you know, to play in a manner that he would be proud of, and that we want to honor his memory. And it's gone as far as, you know, they hold a moment of silence before every single game that they play. They get together and they hold a moment of silence and they think about their coach. And so it's obviously just a very emotional story, and one of these ones that might not get the most press and everything, but for me, it's really what high school sports is about. When you have a great coach who makes such an impact, and even after they're gone, people are still thinking about them and trying to you know, be the best version of themselves that they can be in his legacy.
Well, you can tell what he meant to the community. There's no doubt about that. So this season, how, you know, obviously what's happening on the field, you know, pales in comparison to someone losing their life and all that. But as they're playing in his honor, How has the season been going for North Hartford?
It's been going very, very well. They're currently 4-0, and they've actually outscored their opponents 15-3 in the process.
Wow.
Now, this is a team that's consistently a pretty good team, but last year was a tough year for them. They had graduated 15 seniors the year before, and they finished 6-6. They were a low-scoring team, though, and I guess the best way to show it is last year they've already eclipsed the number of total shots that they've taken. So in four games compared to their 12 games they played last year, they've already taken more shots than they had last year. And so it's a team that last year they were sort of trying to make strides and grow a little bit as a young group, and now they're sort of reaping the benefits of it from a strictly on-the-field perspective. Like I said, 4-0. They went 2-0 at their home tournament, the Coach Berg tournament, and one of those victories came against Patterson Mill, who has been, in the last couple of years, has been one of the top teams in Harford County. They've been state finalists the last 2 years at the 1A level. They had beaten North Hartford the year before, and North Hartford was able to get the better of them this year and in the championship of that game. And it's just been an exciting year for them. And then on the field, in terms of on the field, three players that you're going to want to keep an eye out for. They're all juniors. Kara Kramer, she's a central midfielder who a lot of things have been running through for her. For the team have sort of run through her. She's sort of their go-to player there. Marley Copes has been doing a great job of scoring up top for them. And then you also, in defense, you have Maddie Schwartz, who's gotten in, has even scored a goal this year, but also is sort of their organizer at the back, the person who makes sure everything sort of stays in order. And so it's been an exciting year, and they're just getting better. Earlier this week they had a 7-0 victory over Aberdeen. So obviously when you score 7 goals in soccer, you're doing
something
right.
It's not easy to do that in 90 minutes. That is remarkable.
Absolutely.
So let's switch gears. This is High School Sports Line. He's Wick Eisenberg. I'm Glenn Clark. I want to talk a little bit about another story, and this is one of those, I think everybody can get behind this. The team that loses this game obviously isn't thrilled about it.
Absolutely.
But you never want to see a story like what's been going on with Brunswick football for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, it's no other way to put it. It's just been kind of tough for Brunswick the last few years. I would say it's known predominantly as a baseball school. They have a great baseball tradition. They also have a pretty good soccer tradition. So it's one of these schools where football might not always have been the primary sport, and they've sort of been going through a particularly rough time. They'd lost 22 games in a row. They hadn't won a game since Halloween of 2014.
Wow.
So it had been quite some time. They beat North Hagerstown on that day. But they've gone through a couple of different coaches, and all of last year, with the exception of one game, was pretty lopsided. This year, it appears to be a different story. To open this year, they took on Northern Garrett. They only lost 6-0 to the Huskies, and that they're a pretty good team out there in the 1A West region. So that's pretty encouraging. They weren't able to score, but it was sort of like, okay.
They were in the game.
The game was close, and it was competitive and everything you could really want. And so definitely encouraging. And I know for first-year head coach Jerry Smith, he talked a little bit about, they just need to get that belief to win. That has now come through, and it's happened. It happened earlier. It happened last week on September 8th. They beat Clear Spring, which was the one team they were close with last year. They beat them 40-8. And what was kind of cool about this is the Railroaders, they were able to score in every phase of the game. They fell behind 6-0, but then they ended up being able to score offense, defense, and special teams. Their quarterback, Caden Roberts, had a huge game. He had 3 touchdowns, 2 of which were passes to Jaden Spriggs, who's a wide receiver who they have a lot of hope for. And then he also contributed a rushing touchdown. Defensively, they had Jacob Remsburg return to fumble 30 yards, a big play that he was able to run back, and then he also contributed with a touchdown there. And then Alex Varner returned a punt 60 yards as well. So it was really an all-around effort. And it's one of these ones where it's tough out there when things aren't going your way.
We know how competitive Frederick County is.
Oh, Frederick's very competitive.
Phew.
Frederick's very competitive. They love their football, and they have had a lot of good teams run through there. And especially when you're the smallest school, as Brunswick is, a lot of the times it doesn't go your way. So this was a huge result for them. And for me, they got another game coming up against this week, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, against Boonesboro, that I'm going to be keeping an eye on, see if they can start a new streak of their own.
You think about Frederick County, you think about kids that are just like, I don't know, what are they, what's in the water?
Well, they play
what
in middle school.
In the water out
they have
there?
Middle school football
it's
programs.
Insane.
A lot of areas do that. It's intense out there, and they have a lot of good teams. And so Brunswick is hoping to get that going here. And obviously a couple of great steps in the right direction. And got to give a shout out to John Jarrett, their athletic director, who's a great athletic director who definitely made a good choice when hiring his coach. And hopefully the Railroaders can keep it going, and hopefully they can, like I said, start a new streak of their own.
That's awesome. Awesome to see. That's just you're happy for all. No kid deserves to go through all that. No kid deserves to have to take as many losses in a row. That's awesome, awesome for Brunswick. You can find out more about that at countysportszone.com. County Sports Zone provides schedules, scores, and standings for public high schools across Maryland. Get scores from every game every night by 11 p.m., whether it's varsity, junior varsity, freshman, it's all there. Never miss the score with County Sports Zone. So when we come back in, we're going to take a trip down to the Eastern Shore. Let's go find out what's going on in the Bayside Conference. Mike Bradley is the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net, and he's going to join us in our next segment to get us caught up on everything that's been going on the field in the Bayside Conference and some of the bigger storylines at the beginning of the season in the Bayside Conference. That's next.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with the living herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer. Participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
In this tight labor market, finding new employees can be tough. Whether you're the business owner or an HR professional, you want access to highly qualified candidates fast. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, no matter the industry, with Indeed, you get immediate access to a high-quality pool of talent with no long-term contracts or upfront fees. For a limited time, Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to make their first job listing a sponsored job with premium visibility so more candidates will see it. You want to make a great hire fast, and this exclusive offer gives you a head start. Independent research shows 6 times more hires are delivered through Indeed than any other job site, making Indeed your one-stop source for hiring. To redeem this offer, go to Indeed.com/offer. That's Indeed.com/offer. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
The late summer boredom fell hard on Thomas and Abigail Wyatt, and to lighten it, Thomas decided they needed to head north to Gettysburg. Friends thought them misguided. Upon their arrival, they found a food scene with dishes unexpected and fanciful, warm welcoming people, and a micro-distillery so impressive, Thomas would proclaim its drinks the nectar of the gods. This was a whole new Gettysburg.
Make your own history. Visit DestinationGettysburg.com.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back to High School Sports Line. Glenn Clark, Wick Eisenberg with you. It's time for us now to take a trip down to the Bayside Conference, and it's a pleasure to be joined by our friend Mike Bradley. He is the host of Overtime Live at SFMSports.net. Mike, it's so good to talk to you, man. Tell me what's been going on the field this season in the Bayside Conference.
Well, good to be here. I appreciate you guys having me. Always love talking high school football. Well, the rich keeps getting richer. I mean, the same usual suspects are at the top this year with North Carolina and Kent Island and Queen Anne so far off to 2-0 starts. We had a big change of events take place. Easton, who's considered a middle-level team, sustained 3 big injuries in their game against Queen Anne's on Friday. And we'll have to find out the status. Obviously, HIPAA laws play a part in all this, but it looks like those guys could be out for an extended period of time, which changes the landscape, which I think hurts their playoff chances quite a bit. And then obviously gives some of the other teams a chance at getting a W that maybe they didn't have a chance at getting against Easton earlier in the year. You know, Cambridge, who's usually a pretty darn good 1A squad, they've had a very tough start to their schedule at 0-2, and they just got off a game against Woodbridge out of Delaware's Henlopen Conference and the defending 2A champs, or Division II champs, I should say. So Cambridge is 0-2, maybe looking at 0-3 with North Carolina coming in this week. And so that's unusual for them, but I think they'll certainly make up ground in the 1A. They'll be battle tested. The Bayside South continues to be one that is in constant rebuilding mode. Parkside was the team this year that was supposed to maybe make that leap and get a really quality win for the South against one of the North teams, but that did not turn out so successfully for them against North Carolina this past weekend. They lost that game 49-6, so obviously still a lot of work to be done there. They're still the best in the South, but teams like Stephen Decatur and Snow Hill and Washington and Wycombe with J.M. Bennett, they've struggled for any sort of consistency or success. So it's kind of more of the same this year, although it may be more top-heavy than it's been in years past.
Hey, Mike, this is Wick here. One game that I'm keeping an eye on this weekend is Queen Anne's against Sussex Central. I know Queen Anne's last year had a great regular season. The one game that they dropped was to Sussex Central. What are you looking for in that game, and what do you think is going to happen there?
Well, I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Queen Anne's. Queen Anne's defeated Sussex Central, if I'm not mistaken, 2 years ago, and then at home, and then they lost to Sussex Central last year. I'm glad they're picking this game up. Sussex Central is a very good team out of the Henlopen Conference in the South, or excuse me, out of the North, and they've got a long tradition there. They've been down a couple of years ago, kind of 500 record, but they're starting to ramp that program back up, and they're off to a 1-0 start. I think what really you're going to be looking at here is with Queen Anne's having graduated their entire offense last year, are they battle-tested enough through the first two games that they're going to be able to move the ball and throw it just enough to be able to have success against SC? Queen Anne's usually has a very good defense, but they're only returning three starters on that side of the ball as well. So it's going to be one that you're really going to see, I think, how good or how much work this Queen Anne's team has to do before they play within the Bayside Conference, North Carolina and Kent Island, who, of course, that's their rival school at the end of the year. So it'll be a great test for them. I'm going to lean towards Sussex Central in this one. But Queen Anne's getting this game at home, that certainly helps to some degree.
He is Mike Bradley. He's the host of Overtime Live at sfmsports.net, and he joins us here on High School Sports Line. Mike, I know one of the things that's so exciting for everyone here in the state of Maryland is to see kids from this area go on to have success at the next level. Can you take me through some of the guys that have come from the Bayside Conference that are now getting these opportunities at the D1 level?
Yeah, well, there are two guys at North Carolina right now that have signed to go to big-time schools, and the first one would be Jamion Franklin, who attended Gilman for a year in Baltimore, but then transferred back to North Carolina, playing offense and defensive line. He's mostly playing defensive line this year for the Bulldogs, but he's quite a talent and probably one of the best linemen in the Bayside that the conference has seen in a while. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the linemen, Glenn, from a lot of these schools tend to go D2, D3. In fact, there's one out of Easton that's out in Frostburg right now. And so that's usually the case because you don't have as big a pool of kids, and they don't tend to necessarily be as big in size either as the Western Shore teams. But Jamie and Franklin's the exception to the rule on that one.
Where's he headed?
Going to Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's going to play for the Fighting Irish. He had all the big schools after him, and certainly playing at Gilman for a year or two, going to a lot of the camps and playing at a school like Gilman, though, certainly getting a lot of attention. So Brian Kelly's recruited him there. And then running back David Bailey, who's an absolute stud, who's had a great start to the year as well for the Bulldogs. He's going to Boston College.
Okay, very impressive. The other big storyline to me in the beginning of the year, Mike, is just a remarkable story at Stephen Decatur of Coach Bobby Knox, who, if you can take me through the timeline for this, he had to step away from the program a year ago, but now has returned.
Yeah, his grandson, as it turns out, has a rare form of brain cancer, and Coach always preaches, family first. And we hear that a lot in football programs, Glenn, but oftentimes, though, especially the college and NFL level, it's a business. There's, games that have to be won and money to be made, et cetera. And when something happens in family, coaches don't necessarily step away unless it's something really, really major. But in this case, coach did step away to help his daughter out with his grandson and to be there for the family. And, of course, he kept tabs from the outside looking in every Friday night. But he took the year off, and he didn't blink. I mean, Glenn, as soon as he found out, he stepped aside and turned the program over to his defensive coordinator, who ran it for a year. Things are looking better. The Bayside Conference rallied and raised money for some of the expenses, of course, the hospital expenses. But he is back, and I think the team certainly is glad to have him back. And he's into his 33rd year coaching. He's the third active winningest coach in Maryland history and 12th all time. So, and he averages 7 wins a year. And so that brings a lot. And when he went away, you know, the team suffered last year going 1-9. So with him being back, it's made a difference. They're 1-1 this year. They won their first game last year in week 10. They got their first win in week 1 this year. So you can tell the difference there. And then they lost a close one, 8-3 to Wicomico. So they still have a lot of work to do, but they're getting there. But Bob Knox, you know, truly living by his word, family first, and he stepped away and he's back. And look, every day is going to be a challenge for his grandson, but the latest is, you know, things are looking good, at least right now.
I've read a lot about what former players have to say about Bobby Knox, and you can just tell how much he means, not just as a football coach, but as a man, to everyone who's come through the Stephen Decatur program.
No, absolutely, and I think that with his longevity, it speaks to that. It's not just about wins, but the fact that, you know, he's building a program of young men as well and teaching them beyond the football field. And I don't think if he wasn't getting the job done in both areas, I don't think he would have been there at Stephen Decatur as long as he's had. And he is very well respected in the community there. And, you know, the hope is that, you know, Decatur's had some tough times the last couple of years, obviously with having to step away. They've also had some big transfers, some injuries, obviously some big graduations, and they're hoping to get that program back to what it normally is. And usually it is one of the best teams in the Bayside South.
Mike Bradley, what does everybody need to know about Overtime Live?
Well, we air after our game of the week roughly about 9 o'clock every Friday night. We cover the entire Bayside Conference. Now, the majority of the coaches we have on are from the north, but we'll sprinkle in some south coaches as well. And we'll analyze the games. We'll give you scoreboard updates and, again, talk to the coaches. And it's a whole lot of fun, and we appreciate our partnership with SFMSports.net in making it all possible.
Well, we will look forward to chatting with you again next week. Mike Bradley, appreciate taking the time to tell us all about what's going on in the Bayside Conference. When we come back in, Wick Eisenberg is going to tell us all about what games you need to be watching and paying attention to this week. That's next. This is High School Sportsline.
Suicide prevention starts with everyday heroes like you. Join us Saturday, September 23rd at Hagerstown City Park as we walk to fight suicide and raise awareness about mental health. You can be part of the movement and create a culture that's smart about mental health. Out of the Darkness Walks will raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. If suicide has touched your life in any way, you are not alone. Get details on the Hagerstown Walk or find one near you at outofthedarkness.org.
IT orchestration stories from CDW. A research company had lots of data, maybe too much data. It's a classic case of data overload. So CDW orchestrated a game-changing technology transformation for them using Intel-powered servers, notebooks, and tablets. Now they can analyze big data faster and turn data overload into data insights. Accelerated insights by Intel. IT orchestration by CDW. Learn more at cdw.com/intel. CDW. People who get it.
Most mobile providers just want you to do one thing, sign their contract. But at Simple Mobile, we just want you to shred their contract. Our 30-day unlimited plan starts at just $25 with nationwide coverage on a lightning-fast 4G LTE network, all with no contract. You can keep it complicated or you can mobile simple with Simple Mobile.
Available nationwide at Best Buy, Simple Mobile dealers, and authorized retailers. See the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
With 20% back in rewards on color copies from Staples, you can run your business with confidence. The confidence to leave behind presentations that customers will read, not recycle. The confidence to produce color manuals that'll keep your business in the black. The confidence that your financial forecast will no longer be partly cloudy. Show off your business in full color for less at Staples. Now get 20% back in rewards on color presentations, manuals, and copies. Staples, it's pro time. Visit staples.com/20color. Expires 11/4/17. Exclusions apply.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network. The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Welcome back to High School Sportsline. Glenn Clark and Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com with you. Wick, in this final segment, we're going to be talking about some of the games coming up this week. But before we do that, one of our partners with County Sports Zone is PressBox. And there is a new print edition of PressBox this week. You always supply a great high school sports story for the print edition of PressBox, which can be picked up on any of the hundreds of newsstands throughout the Maryland region. But
they're everywhere.
Can you tell me about what your story is this month for PressBox's print edition?
This month, I wrote about Archbishop Curley Soccer. For me, it's they're one of the teams to watch in the Baltimore area, across all high school sports. They are coached by the great Barry Stitz. I don't know if you
yeah, absolutely.
You know, Baltimore Blast, a yes. legend. He's been there for 18 years. He's an alum. And Curley is always one of these teams that is, they have a great tradition. They're always sort of in and around the scene of trying to win the A-Conference title. They've gotten to the championship the last 2 years, haven't been able to get over the hump, and they have a couple of really dynamic players this year who I think are going to be able to take them, or it looks like are going to be able to take them over that hump, so to speak, and get them that championship. It would be their first one since 06. And Barry's son, Ben, is expected to provide the goals up top as the starting striker.
Wow. Awesome. That's a cool story. That's yeah. a really, really cool story. Well, that's available, like I said, in the new print edition of PressBox, which is on newsstands this week, anywhere throughout the state of Maryland. Of course, you can also find out more and read the entire edition at PressBoxOnline.com. Now, let's get into this weekend's games, what's coming up. We just chatted with Mike Bradley, and he told us about one of the games that I know is one of your games to watch this week. But tell me a little bit more about what you're thinking as Queen Anne's gets ready to take on a really good program from Delaware.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm very curious to see how Queen Anne's responds to this. As Mike was talking about, they have a very young team this year, but that still, for me, doesn't change those expectations of being one of the better teams in the Eastern Shore. For me, what's been really exciting for Queen Anne's, they've been able to make the playoffs, I believe it's the last 4 years, but they haven't been able to pick up any wins during that time span. So they've done a really good job of being able to take care of their business within the Bayside. However, once they start playing teams from outside of the Bayside, they've struggled a little bit more. So that was the main reason why I'm sort of curious to see how they respond to a Sussex Central, a team that's expected to be another really good team from up in Delaware, possibly an indicator for what Queen Anne's might have to deal with if they were to make the playoffs again. So that's sort of my reasoning behind wanting to keep an eye on that, see how one of the top teams in the Bayside does when they're handling a team that's not from the Bayside.
Another program that we've already talked about that has a big game coming up this weekend is Brunswick. And earlier in the show, we talked about how they finally ended this lengthy losing streak, and now they have a chance as they get a visit from Boonesboro to try to extend that.
Yeah, and they're going to have a big challenge. I mean, they were able to handle Clear Spring last week, another team from Washington County, but Boonesboro is expected to be a whole other animal. They were 9-1 last season. They were able to they reached the playoffs in the 1A West region, and they lost actually a heartbreaker in overtime to Allegheny on a last second play. So I mean, Boonesboro is a team that for me should end up being one of the better teams in the area or in Maryland, excuse me, at the 1A level. They opened up, I know, with a somewhat disappointing loss to Catoctin, another team we're going to talk about here in a couple minutes, but I think a game that Boonesboro expected to probably be able to win, but then they were able to bounce back last week with a really dominant win over Silver Oak Academy. And in that game, you had Ethan Holaburko and Isaiah Barnhart each got 2 touchdowns for the Warriors. For me, it's really tough out in the 1A West because you have those powers really far west in terms of Fort Hill, Allegheny. But Boonesboro is a very good team, and I'm just very curious to see how they do with Brunswick, this newfound sense of confidence.
Sure.
Will the Railroaders be able to, you know, get another win streak going? That's one for me I'm very intrigued by. 2-1-1 teams that are looking definitely to go above the 500 mark.
So that's Friday night at 7 o'clock mm-hmm. at Brunswick. And
yes.
The one we mentioned before that, Queen Anne's hosting Sussex Central, that's 7:30 mm-hmm. on Friday night. You brought up Catoctin, so let's go there next. Couple of 2-0 teams getting together as they host Southern Garrett.
Yeah, these are two teams that kind of mirror each other for me in terms of where they were at entering this season. Results-wise, they were both 4-6 last year. Catoctin, starting with them, they are 2-0. They've picked up wins against Boonesboro, and they were able to beat Frederick last week. And they're aiming for their first playoff appearance since 2013, so it's been a little while since they've been able to get in there. And they have this player who, running back Joey Fogle, who I know is somebody that people are going to want to keep an eye on. He's coming off of a serious wrist injury that really hampered him in the offseason. He wasn't able to do the weight training as much as he wanted to. He wasn't able to do as much conditioning as he wanted to, and so everyone was thinking, oh, you know, know, what type of shape is he going to be in? Well, he's certainly answered the bell in that regard. He's been one of their go-to guys. Last week, he had a huge game against Frederick. The Cadets could not stop him. He went off for 162 yards on 11 carries.
Wow. So, I like that average.
Yeah,
that math works out pretty well.
Pretty good average. They had a lot of trouble catching Joey. So he's definitely going to be a player that Southern Garrett's going to want to keep an eye on and make sure that they're able to slow him down. And Southern Garrett's been able to do a good job of that so far, being able to slow down opponents. Also 2-0, and it's actually the first winning start for them in over a decade. They won their opener, and that was the first time they had won their opening contest in over a decade. So this is really a team that hasn't had a lot of success recently that is really trying to, I guess, make a push and make an impact out there out west. QB Hayden McLaughlin has had a great start to the year for them, and one of the big results that they have gotten so far was they were able to top Moorfield last week, a team from West Virginia that's really had their number since 2010. And so it looks like this could be a year that the Rams really turn it around. And
well, hang on. You didn't give the final score of that game.
40-0.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
I try not to throw it out there when it's too lopsided. However, 40-0, the defense is obviously in great shape right now. They did a great job containing Moorfield. So the question, I guess, if you're looking for a key matchup going into it, how is Joey Fogle going to be doing going up against that Rams defense that just threw a shutout last week? So I'm very curious to see how that one goes.
So that's at Catoctin Friday night at 7 o'clock. Yeah. This is High School Sports Line. Glenn and Wick getting you ready for the games that are coming up this weekend. Wick, why don't we come back to Baltimore for the next one, as Edmondson Westside is going to travel to Digital Harbor.
Yeah, this one's interesting to me because it sort of starts for me with when these teams met last year. They met in the second week, and Digital Harbor was able to beat Edmondson, actually beat them 14-0 at their own place. That does not happen very often to the Red Storm. And it was sort of seen as this big victory for Digital Harbor. They'd won their opener. They were 2-0. They were looking to have a breakthrough year, and here was this big win that they'd just gotten, and it's here we go. We're getting on our way. But then they kind of stumbled, and they fell the rest of the way. They were only able to pick up one more win. So it was kind of interesting. You know, they have this big premier win, and then they weren't really able to follow it up. And so I'm curious to see how this comes into play, because Edmondson, after that loss, kind of really picked up their season and got it going. They were able to sneak into the 1A South playoffs as a lower seed, ended up going on a run and winning that region. So that result, you would think, oh, that will maybe propel Digital Harbor and knock Edmondson down for the year. It actually kind of reversed. So I'm sort of curious to see how this game goes. From a Digital Harbor perspective, they struggled the first week and got blown up by Oakdale from Frederick, but they were able to bounce back and beat Frederick Douglass from Baltimore City 6-0. And you might think 6-0, there wasn't a whole lot of offense. They were still able to really spread it around and get a lot of people involved. They have a nice quarterback in Mark McClain. He hit 5 different receivers in that game, which is pretty good for the high school level. And then a great player as well for them, one that you're going to want to keep an eye on, is Ronald Lewis Glasgow. He's their top running back. He had, I believe, 3 catches in that game, was their lead receiver. And then he also led the team in tackles as a defensive back. So definitely a two-way player who's a threat on both sides. And then for Edmondson, it's been a really exciting start to the year for them. They're 2-0, and they've had to go on the road to very hostile and different environments for them that they're used to. They went out to South Carroll, and they were able to beat down South Carroll, which is never easy to do with a program as successful as theirs. And then they also were able to beat Caravelle from Delaware. So they've outscored their opponents 77 to 15 so far this year, and their quarterback Tamonte Johns has had a big role in that. He's had a great start, and I'm looking for a good game. The teams are so close to each other, and seeing if Edmondson is going to be able to get back at Digital Harbor for what happened last year.
Friday afternoon, 3:45 at Digital Harbor. To follow up on that thought of Mark McClain, you're so right. In high school football, so often there's one receiver that you trust to throw the ball to. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's who you're throwing the ball to the entire game. So you're so right about 5 receivers catching balls in the high school level is significant. Mm-hmm. And then one more game we want to get to. Let's go to Anne Arundel County, and Old Mill's going to host Meade.
Yeah, this is one that I think Meade has sort of been one of the surprising teams of the year. Not a lot of people really thought that they were going to be able to jump out to this 2-0 start. Not only do it in an impressive fashion. They started off the year by shutting out South River. Never easy to shut out the Seahawks. And then they were able to go and beat Arundel, which is a big big game for those programs. They when they play each other, they call it the Mears Cup. They play. It's a big sort of rivalry game.
Okay.
It's named after Jerry Mears, who coached at both schools back in the 70s and the 80s.
Very cool.
So. You know, it's this big rivalry game. However, it has been remarkably one-sided. The last 15 go-arounds, Arundel had won. So Meade was able to break through and get him this year, 47-26. It was also just a great atmosphere in general. Meade just got new athletic complex, and that's how they broke in their new one, was by beating Arundel at home. Obviously very exciting. The defense, even though they gave up 26 points, was able to force 7 turnovers. And then on offense, it was just sort of a steady performance, and running back Darian Strawn had a great game, 2 touchdowns. He ran for 52 yards as well. So Meade is really, after not making the playoffs since 2013, sort of looking to bounce back in that tough 4A East region, and they've been able to get off to a good start. Beating Old Mill, though, would be a massive statement. Old Mill's sort of been the traditional top dog in that region, in that county, for a very long time. But admittedly, it's been more of an up-and-down year for Old Mill than they are used to. They opened the year, in no other really way to describe it, just a really, really bad opener. They lost 42-0 to North Point. And for me, it doesn't happen very often that they do that, where they give up that many points. And then Annapolis, they were able to beat the following week, 35-8. Isaiah Batts had a huge game for them last game, 170 yards on 30 carries, 4 touchdowns.
Wow, and very cool. So those are the games you'll need to be watching this weekend at the public school level here in the state of Maryland. Wick Eisenberg, I can't believe we've already made it through the first show. Unreal. It's in the books. People can find out more at countysportszone.com. Mm-hmm. That's so you can read everything that Wick Eisenberg does at Wikipedia. Listen to this show anytime by downloading our podcast. Go to MarylandNewsNetwork.net and click Audio on Demand. This has been High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Dreaming of some new denim, dresses, tops, or skirts? Shopping at Peebles comes with all sorts of fun perks. Peebles is having a one-day sale this Friday and Saturday. And with your coupons, you can buy more and save more all weekend. To start, take 30% off purchases under $50 or 40% off your purchase of $50 or more. And if your purchase is $75 or more, you'll get 50% off. Get ready, because this buy more, save more one-day sale starts Friday. Peebles, what will new bring out in you? Peebles is part of our Stage family. Offer exclusions apply.
Covering high school news from across the state, this is High School Sports Line from the Maryland News Network.